Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, we want to thank you just for your blessing, which is here, for your presence, which is here, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that we're going to have a great time together in your presence. We just welcome you here, Holy Spirit. We thank you that we're not here by accident, we're not here by chance, but it doesn't matter, you know, if we know the scriptures, which we're going to look at tonight, you've got something to say to us this evening. To every single one of us, you've got something that you want to say, something that, you know, some truth, which when we embrace it, it brings freedom in our lives. And we thank you that's what's on your heart for us this evening, and that's what we're going to experience. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening, we're starting a new series, which we didn't market, welcome to the new series. And I'm excited for it. It's been on my heart for a while, and I had planned it, that it would start this week, but I just decided I didn't want to market it because you come and you listen. And so it's something that involves all of us, and it's I'm going to introduce it with a riddle, really. But it's something that involves all of us, and it's either a blessing or a curse for everyone. It can either be a blessing or a curse. We talk about something that some people see as evil, others see as God, but it's actually a tool. And so we're talking about money, we're talking about finances, we're going to be talking about generosity over the next couple of weeks. And I think that's an important point to stress, that some people see it as evil, which it's not. Okay? And some people see it as God, which obviously it's not. But then it's actually a tool for us to be able to use for a specific purpose. And we're going to be looking at that purpose. We're going to be looking at how to use it as a tool as well. But I want to start off in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. And this really, this series, I believe, has the potential to change not only your life, but your everybody who's here, our descendants' lives for generations to come. Because it's such a significant thing, money. I mean, you might not like money, but you're not going to get very far without money, right? We all need money to be able to accomplish what God's called us to accomplish. We all need money to be able to look after ourselves and our family. And so money is an important topic. In fact, Jesus spoke about money more than heaven or hell. So finances and money is an important topic. Okay, and I believe this is going to be a significant turning point for a lot of people. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, it says, "Therefore take no thought, saying." Okay, so this is, Jesus is speaking and he says, you shouldn't think about what I'm about to say. You shouldn't be concerned or worried about what I'm going to say. He says, "Take no thought, saying." So that means you might have the thought, but don't take it as your own. The thought might cross your mind, but you make it your own when you take it and you say it, or you meditate on it. Don't say what you're thinking. Some of you know you shouldn't be saying what you're thinking, right? Some of us know better than to say what we think. The thought becomes yours when you take it and you say it. So take no thought saying. That's what that scripture is saying. When you say the thought, you've taken the thought and you've made it your own. That's why the scripture says, take no thought saying. Okay, so don't take the thought and make it your own by saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? So it's saying, don't worry about your needs. Don't worry about the basic needs that you've got, even the complex needs that you've got. Don't worry. Okay, a couple times in scripture, Jesus says, don't worry. Okay, I like one of the translations where it says, don't worry about your life. And yet most people are concerned or worried about their lives. They're not worried about what we should be worried about, which is nothing. Okay, so take no thought saying, okay, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what are we going to be clothed with? I like the next verse, verse 32, let me see if it says it the same way. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, smiley face. The heathen, in another translation, the Gentiles, the unbeliever, seeks after food, clothing, it seeks after a drink, what they're going to, after their provision. Whereas we shouldn't be like the unbeliever. We should be like a believer, which believes that God's going to provide for us. That's why it says don't worry about these things, because we can put our trust in God and then He provides for us. It says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, smiley face, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. What it's trying to say here, what Jesus is trying to say is that provision is based on your relationship with God. It's based on your identity as a believer. It's not based on what you do, it's based on His love for you. The fact that He's your dad and you're His child. Now there's part to play and we'll look at that in a moment, but what I'm trying to show you is that your Father wants to provide for you. Sometimes we don't see the provision because we're not letting Him provide for it. Okay? But it says there, seek first, the next verse, seek first, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we need to prioritize what God prioritizes, and then we see all these things that we need just supernaturally added to us, not awarded to us, not rewarded to you, but added unto you. So provision isn't a reward. Provision is part of your what you deserve as a child of God. It's a basic right, really, if you want to look at it like that. But this is basically saying, don't worry about what you need. Just focus on God. Okay? And that's where I want to start this evening, because we need to be able to see God as a Father and He's our provider and we're in this relationship. And so that everything in life flows out of relationship with God. Okay? And if everything in life flows out of relationship with God, then it's safe to say that finances does too in the way we handle finances. But what do many Christians do? We put finances in one area, we put something in the next area, we put everything in its own little area, and God in His area. And we make sure God stays in His area. You know, my relationship with God is private, and it's on a Sunday morning, and that's it, or a Sunday evening. But we need to kind of include God in everything. If God's not included in your finances, then your finances will never be as good as they could be. Okay? Romans chapter 6, verse 14. One of the most important things we've got to realize with finances is that we're not operating under old covenant, we're operating under new covenant. And this is also one of the things I just want to start out with and say and show us. It says, therefore, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So it's saying you're not under law, you're under grace. We're not under obligation to give. We're not under obligation, we're not under a performance-based relationship with God where He looks after us based on what we give or don't give. We're under a grace relationship with God where we're not getting what we deserve, we're getting better than what we deserve. Okay, that's what grace is. It's undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. Okay, grace means you don't deserve it, but you get more than you deserve. You get better than you deserve. You're getting treated much better than you deserve. So this is encouraging for us in terms of finances as well. We're not being treated as we deserve under law. We're being treated better than we deserve under grace. That means that the blessing is easier than many people make it out to be. Being blessed and prosperous isn't based on 5 steps to being holy and fasting and praying and doing this. It's not about what you do. It's about what He's done. You're not under law. Law, it's about what you do. You're under grace. Grace is about what He's done. And so the whole new covenant is based on what He's done for us, not what we do for Him, which shows us that even in finances, it's not about what we do that prospers us. It's about what He's done. Okay? And some people would say it's easier said than done, and I believe it is easier said than done for the simple reason that we've been trained in performance, in a performance-based mentality where we aren't able just to let go and trust God like we should. Most of us struggle to trust God, and we're relating to Him based on law, not grace. So it's a case of, okay, God, if You, then I will. Then it's a legalistic mentality. But if it's, hey God, I need to trust in You, if we have that father-child relationship where we're just trusting, and it's like, hey God, this is all You, or it's nothing, then grace can start to flow. So we're not under the old covenant, which is an obligation to give, to tithe, to sow, it's not under obligation. Now we're invited to partake in the family business through giving. Okay? So it's a completely different mentality under the new covenant. So when we're talking about prosperity, when we're talking about finances, don't think about obligation and don't feel this pressure of now I have to X, Y, and Z. You don't have to anything. Okay? Usually during a finance series, I know people feel pressure to give or pressure to kind of up their giving or something. I'm not putting that pressure on you. Right at the beginning, I'll say there's no pressure to give anything. There's an invitation to partake by giving. But what I want you to see is how blessed you are, because when you see that, then you should start giving. But if you don't, it's okay. Okay? We're not here to pressure anyone. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. I believe prosperity starts with seeing yourself as God sees you. Now, we'll define prosperity in a minute, but let's look at this. Galatians 3, 9 says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So how are we blessed? By faith. It does not say that we're blessed through performance. It doesn't say that we're blessed by doing the right thing. It says that we're blessed through faith. But so then, they which be of faith, not they which be of a good performance track record, not they of which are of good moral standing, even. It says they which are of faith. Faith is believing and trusting in God. So when we believe and trust in God, we are blessed. That's what it's saying. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, this is awesome. It says, right there, it says, blessed be God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed, past tense. It's saying that you've already been blessed. Okay, now this is vital, and I believe it's key. You need to see yourself as blessed before you can be a blessing. Some of you are wondering why you're not being a blessing to others, or the person sitting next to you is wondering why you're not being a blessing to to others. And it's because you don't see yourself as blessed. When you see yourself as blessed, you can't help but be a blessing. I mean, you know those people who think they know everything about everything, right? In a conversation, they've always got something to add. Why? Because they think they've got something to add. The person who doesn't think they've got something to add will never add something. Amen? No nudging. So this says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, not some. But it says all. So in your spirit, you've got your power packed and fully loaded. You've got all spiritual blessing in you already. Okay? And I know that some would say, yes, but it's a spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Okay? But we are spirit beings, firstly. Having a physical experience. When you die, you're going to pass on and be with Jesus forever. You don't cease to exist. If you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever, you don't cease to exist either. Okay, just not the same destination. But there it says that we've got spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God is a spirit and He spoke the world into existence. Everything that we see, He spoke into existence. So you've got the spiritual which precedes and supersedes the physical. Okay, that's why God, the spiritual, created the physical. So the spiritual comes before the physical. Okay, so what I'm trying to show you is that we are blessed in the spirit. I would rather be blessed in the spirit than blessed in the physical. Because blessed in the spiritual means I can be blessed in the physical. But if I'm just blessed in the physical, it could be short-lived. Okay, now how did God create the world? How did the spiritual create the physical? He spoke the world into existence. And then we see that Proverbs says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Jesus says, speak to the mountain and command it to move. And so we see that through our words, we can create something in the physical. Or should I rather say, through our words, we can release what's in the spiritual into the physical. Okay, now some of you, this will go over your head. Some of you, this will be a revelation and it'll bless you. But it means that you can take the spiritual blessing and make it a physical reality. Moving on. 2 Peter 1:3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. This is awesome. It's saying that you've got everything you need for life, for the practical, and for godliness, for the spiritual. You've got everything you need, not just some things, but you've got everything you need to be a success. You've got everything you need for life and for godliness, for the spiritual and for the practical. Not just some things, but you've got all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you could ever need is already yours. It's in the spirit. And through your words, through speaking it out, you can bring it from the spiritual into the physical, and it can become a physical reality. Okay? It says there that according to His divine power has already, so it's past tense, has given to us all things, which means If it's already given to you, like the previous verse, you're already blessed with all spiritual blessings. If it's already given to you, you can't do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to deserve it. You can't do anything to reject it, meaning for God to not want to give it to you. You can do what you want to not receive it, and you won't receive it. You won't experience it. But what I'm trying to show you is God's not going to reward you with the spiritual blessing. As a child of God, it belongs to you. It's yours. Now it's up to you if you use it or not. It's up to you if you accept it or not. Through your speaking and through acting in faith, you're either attracting the blessing to manifest, or you're just keeping the blessing in your spirit and you're not releasing it. Every single Christian is blessed with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, with everything we need for life and for godliness. The answer to your situation, you've got it. But we don't always see it because many reasons. But we keep it there. We're not allowing it to be released. God's not withholding. We're the ones who are not receiving. But I like what it says here, that we experience all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us. Who's that? It's Jesus. It's saying through the knowledge of Him, not through your performance according to the law. So it's not saying that we have everything we need for life and for godliness through our performance or through our good works or through our giving even. You don't everything you have, you need for life and for godliness, you already have through your knowing Jesus, through having a relationship with Jesus. And as you increase in relationship, as you come to know Him more, you'll come to experience more of what He's got for you. That spiritual blessing will become more manifest in your life. Okay, that's what that's saying. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So, the Word is showing us that God's desire is clearly for us to prosper. Okay, when we say prosperity, don't think of TBN and golden thrones and things like that. Okay, don't think even of lots of money. Prosperity isn't that. We'll talk about what prosperity is in a moment, but true prosperity always starts with prosperity in the soul, which is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. There's a lot of people who have lots of money, but they're not prospering in their souls, in their mind, their will, their intellect, or their emotions. If you're not prospering in your soul, you will not truly prosper anywhere else. You might have a lot of money, you might have whatever stuff, but it's not true prosperity, because true prosperity is a whole life. It's wholeness in every area of your life. Okay? So this gives us the basis for prosperity. And it's saying that we should prosper in accordance to our soul prospering. Allow Jesus to impact your relationship with Jesus to impact your soul, your mind, your heart, your will, your intellect. Allow Jesus and His relationship, His Word, to change your thinking, change your heart, and it will result in a fruitful life of prosperity. And we'll look at what that prosperity is in a moment. But the phrase there, may us prosper, can also be defined as succeed in business. So what it's saying is, I wish above all things that you may succeed in business. It's talking about money, basically. God wants us to succeed in financial affairs. He doesn't want you to be a wreck. He doesn't want you let me put it like this. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So we are the branches, He's the vine. We're connected into the vine, which means the life of the vine flows through the vine into us, the branch, and we, the branch, produce fruit because of the life of God in us. So what, and then it finishes off and it says that it's God's will that we increase in fruitfulness. So God's will for us is that we increase in fruitfulness. He doesn't want us to decrease or to burn out or anything like this. Even on our emotions, He wants us to be strong and increase. Okay? Another scripture which really encourages me with regards to this is Psalm 37. Psalm 37 from 25 to 26. God's Word translation says, I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen a righteous person abandoned or his descendants begging for food. He is always generous and lends freely. So there's the fruit of a righteous person. They're always generous, they lend freely, and their descendants are a blessing. Okay? But I like what it says before then. I've never seen a righteous person abandoned, or his descendants begged for food. So what that's showing us is that because we are righteous, we don't have to we should never beg. Okay, we should never beg. If you beg, God's not anti, he doesn't hate you. Okay, God doesn't hate people who beg. He's just saying if we realize how righteous we are, we'll never have to beg. And we'll never have to beg for food, and we'll never, what does it say, be abandoned. He will never abandon us to suffer, and we will never have to beg for food. That's an awesome promise. But the key there is knowing your righteousness. Knowing how righteous you are in Christ is key to great faith, is the key to seeing the power of God unleashed in our lives. Because righteousness is everything that's true of Jesus is true of me. It's an identity issue. You're not trying to be righteous so God will bless you and give you food and whatever. You're realizing how righteous you are because you're now a new creation in Christ Jesus. And as you realize how righteous you are, you start to experience fruitfulness. Because you realize that if I'm righteous, then I deserve the blessing of God to manifest in my life. Because he's made me righteous, not because you've done anything good. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Further down in verse 21, it says that we are now, and it's talking about the new creation, and it finishes off in verse 21 by saying that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that means that he's made us righteous, he's made us right with God, and because we're right with God, we can experience the blessing of God. We can experience the provision of God, okay, because he's made us right with him. We deserve it now. Psalm 35 verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad. Okay, so this is something, if you've never shouted about, this is worth shouting about. Okay, let us shout for joy and be glad. That favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. This is saying God delights in your prosperity. Now, there's a lot of religious people who don't delight in your prosperity. They don't want you to be prosperous. They think that suffering is godly. The only suffering that is godly is persecution. And sometimes with persecution comes lack. But I believe with all my heart that even in a time of persecution where people are causing you to suffer for your faith, that's what persecution is. If people are making you suffer for your faith, even in that time of lack, I believe God will provide for you. It might not be a Rolls Royce, and it might not be a three-course meal, but there will be provision for you. And it will be prosperous in those conditions. I really believe that with all my heart. But God wants us to prosper for a reason. Okay, the only suffering that is godly is the one where we're suffering for Jesus because people don't like what we're saying about it. Because we're representing Jesus and people hate Jesus, and so they're stoning us because they don't know him yet. Okay, so it's important to see that. Okay, God wants us to prosper and be in good health. He does not want us to suffer. You know, I was actually meditating on this week, that sickness is never God's will. And so some people are suffering with sickness, and I don't belittle that, but God's got freedom for them. God's got healing for them. But some people attach that as a badge of honor, saying that they're suffering for Jesus. Never. You don't know Jesus if you believe that. I can say that confidently, because Jesus never made anyone sick on earth. During his earthly ministry, he never put sickness on anyone, and he never refused to heal anyone. Okay, so God wants us to prosper. Prosperity is God's delight for us, because he loves us. He loves to see us doing well, to be happy. He delights in creating opportunities to bless us. He's a good father. If you're a good father or a good mother, you want the best for your children. You want to bless them. You want to see them enjoying, you know, good things. And it's your delight to bless them. How much more God? We think God's a stingy judge who's treating us according to what we deserve, and our parents, we usually think that they're better than God. You know, when you were 5 years old, or 4 years old even, I doubt that you had to perform to be able to have supper. If you did, that was child abuse. You know, but we don't treat our children like that, but we expect God to treat us harshly. Okay? If we see ourselves as God sees us, now from these scriptures we see that we're blessed, that God calls us blessed. and that his desire is that we prosper. We prosper on the outside because of the blessing on the inside. But we will never prosper on the outside until we see the blessing on the inside. And here's just a good test very quickly, an indicator of just for you to see if you see yourself as God sees you. Look at your giving. Because if you see that you're true, if you believe that you're blessed, you will be a blessing. If you're unsure if you're being a blessing, never mind to the offering bucket, but to the people around you, just ask them. Be bold enough to ask the people around you while you're having coffee after the service. Hey, you know, do you think that I'm generous and I'm a blessing to the people around me? Don't hit them if they say no, because you asked for it, you know. And that's a good indicator of where you are at your relationship with God with regards to seeing yourself as blessed. Because if you see yourself as blessed, you will be a blessing. If you see yourself, you know, as blessed, you will start to give more than if you saw yourself as poor. If you see yourself as poor and stingy, then you'll be stingy. But if you see yourself as blessed, you know, you can have a lot of money and see yourself as and have a poverty mindset. You can still have a lot of money and not be generous. You can have a little bit of money and be very generous because you see yourself as blessed. Okay? It's not the issue isn't about how much money you have. The issue is about how do you see yourself? Do you believe that spiritually you are blessed or not? So why does God want to prosper us? I've kind of alluded to it already, or said it plainly. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. From God's Word translation, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Okay, so God wants to bless us. He wants to show us His love and His goodness. He wants us to be blessed. And it says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. God wants us to be blessed so we can be a blessing. One of the purposes of being blessed is to be a blessing. It's not just, hey, I'm blessed. Look at everything I've got. I never have to worry about a thing. Period. It's, hey, I've got so much. Let me bless you. I want to bless you. You know, and then your life is marked with generosity. It's about generosity. It's not about what you're giving or how much you're giving. It's about being generous even just with your life, time-wise, with your gifts, your talents, your abilities. But that blessing, some people kind of get stuck here and they think that you know, what I'm saying is, and I haven't spoken on this for years, but what some people think that I'm saying is that, hey, you need to give everything that you have to the kingdom. All your money needs to go to missions or to the church. You know, we're looking for a bigger offering. No, we're not. We took the offering already. Okay? So, you know, we're not looking for a bigger offering. We're wanting you to have a better picture of finances so you can operate in faith and you can see the blessing manifest in prosperity. Okay? But part of the blessing isn't just the blessing isn't just for you and the church. It's for you and your family too. God wants you to be a blessing to your family. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says in the easy to read version, everyone must take care of their own people, their own family. Most important, they should take care of their own family. If they do not do that, then they do not accept what we believe. They are worse than someone who does not even believe in God. So this is saying, hey, you need to look after your family. It's good to look after your family. So God wants you to be blessed so you can look after your family and you can be a blessing to other people, a blessing to the kingdom in seeing His kingdom advance. Okay, He wants to show His love and goodness to others around you. And so it's vital we realize we cannot be blessed. We cannot be a blessing until we are blessed. Okay, so God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Okay, now there's a couple important things in this verse. It says, firstly, thou shalt remember the Lord your God. And it goes on to talk about money, that He gave it to you, but how do we remember the Lord your God? Through giving. It's not just, thank you, Jesus, and carry on. There's a purpose for prosperity, and in that purpose, it's also to remember God. And I believe in the principle of remembering God before remembering anything else, because He's number one in my life. Okay, so it's remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power. That word power also means ability. It's He that gives you power or ability to get wealth. Okay, now I like this part because He gives you the ability to get wealth, let's say cash. He doesn't give you cash. He doesn't give you wealth. He's given you His blessing. But He will, God's, you're not going to go home and all of a sudden walk into a room full of cash. God's not going to give you cash. Your boss gives you cash, hopefully. The reason why He gives you cash is because, or she, because you worked for it. Okay? But that salary came from God, ultimately. Because He gave you the power to get wealth. That's why you should remember the Lord your God. Because it's He that gave you power to get wealth. So He gives you the ability to work. He gives you the ability. Another scripture talks about putting your hand to something and it's blessed. So whatever you put your hand to shall prosper. So you've got the blessing of God inside of you. You've got the power of God inside of you to get wealth. You need to put your hand to something and work. It's not legalism to work. You put your hand to something, and then because you're putting your hand to something, the blessing can flow, the ability can flow, and as a result, you see wealth coming in. And because you're seeing the wealth come in because of the power of God in your life, you must remember the Lord your God. Okay? Why? Why does He prosper you? Why does He want you to have wealth? So that He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto the fathers as it is this day. The part of the purpose of wealth is to help extend the kingdom, to help establish His covenant, to tell more people about Jesus. You've experienced the blessing of God. You've experienced the message of grace. You've been impacted by it. Now use what He's blessed you with to help tell other people. That's the point. And a lot of people here get funny about it because my money is my money. No, it's not. It's He who gave you the ability to get wealth, the power to get wealth. Your money doesn't just belong to you. It's God. Everything's God. Can you take your money with you when you go to heaven when you check out? No. God's going to give it to someone else then. they hopefully use it better, maybe. You know, it's a point. The point is that He gives us the ability to get wealth. So put your hand to something because you've got the ability in you to get wealth. So put your hand to something, see the prosperity come, and then don't forget to remember the Lord your God. Why does it say, but thou shalt remember the Lord your God? For, and then He tells you why you should remember the Lord your God. Because when prosperity comes, most of us forget about God. So, before you start to see the blessing turn into prosperity, start remembering the Lord your God. Because it's He who gives you the ability or the power to get wealth. Okay? Don't forget about God. He gives you the ability to get wealth. Remember Him through your giving. Remember Him through... Your giving is part of being thankful, part of thanksgiving. Okay? So, what is prosperity? 2 Corinthians 9:8. Let me start off by saying prosperity isn't about an amount. It's about an attitude. It's about generosity. It's about what you're doing with what you've got. And I believe this is God's standard of prosperity. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Okay, and I like this. Firstly, it's saying prosperity is by grace. Because God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Okay, grace is undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. Grace is about what Jesus has done for you, not what you do for Him. Okay, so a lot of, let me just pause there for a second. Let's just pause the message and talk for a moment. You know, if you think about it, a lot of teachings on giving and prosperity and money, the aim of it is to try and get you to give more. And I would love that if that's the fruit of the message. Because we can do more stuff with more money. Okay, but what I'm trying to show you is that you're not prospering by giving. You're already blessed. And so you need to give because you are blessed. If you believe you're blessed, you're going to give. So I'm not trying to get you to give. I'm trying to get you to see that you're blessed. Okay, so let's look at that. God is able to make all grace abound you toward you. So how does generosity... How what enables us to be generous is God making all grace abound towards us. So we prospered through grace, not through works. We prospered through grace, not what we do. Now, there's a place to put your hand to something to see it prosper. I'm not saying that's not the case. But what I'm saying is that prosperity is by grace. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. Okay? It says that God's able to make all grace abound towards you. You know what the word abound here in the Greek is? Superabound, which means excess. So God's heart is that you have excess. He doesn't want you to just have enough. He wants you to have more than enough. Now, if you only have enough, we should still be generous. God still wants you to be generous, even if you have a little. But God wants us to grow to the place where we have excess. Okay, I like how the verse says later how God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver in the Greek is talking about a hilarious giver. He wants you to be a hilarious giver. He wants you to give hilariously, because every man, according as his purpose in his heart. Wait, sorry, back to the other one. We're not there yet. Thank you. God is able to make all grace. You can only be a hilarious giver if all grace is abounding towards you. Abounding meaning superabound. Okay? More than enough. Excess. God wants you to have excess so that you can be an excessive blessing. Okay? But the purpose from this verse of the excessive blessing is that we would have all sufficiency in all things, not just some things, but he wants you to have more than enough in everything so that you may abound to every good work. That's God's level of prosperity. That's his standard of prosperity, is that whenever you see a good work, you can be a blessing. Let me just add this in. We'll talk about it later. But we shouldn't just give when we feel led. There should be just standard giving, and there should be just giving because we are generous, but we shouldn't say, I'm not giving to that cause because I don't feel led. Okay? That you think you're too spiritual, or you think you're more spiritual than you are. We should be at the place where we have all sufficiency in all things, where we can abound to every good work, not just the ones which we feel touched by. Okay? And that's just an introduction to a different message. But I trust it blesses you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so generosity it's not talking about how much you have or how much you have to give. God's looking at your heart. He's not looking at how much you're giving. Okay, the question isn't how much are you giving, it's are you generous? Do you believe that you're generous? Okay. Yeah, look at it like this. God has a generous nature. Some of you don't believe that, but I'm telling you, he does. We kind of think God is stingy and that he's only giving according as we deserve. But God is very generous. Okay? He's very, very generous. And the more we see him as generous, the more we experience generosity. Because that, if you see God for who he is, you're able to receive from him. Okay, and it's about receiving. He's not withholding anything from you. So when you start to see him as generous and just, you know, just thank him for just every blessing that he's given you, you start to see that flow more and more in your life. And you're not begging God, you're just thanking him for what's already taken place. Okay, but now you've got Jesus who's got this generous nature. There's not one person that he turned down for healing, for example. Okay. He was a generous person, generous with his time, generous with the power of God inside of him, generous with everything. Okay, he lived with his disciples and traveled with them and just, you know, they shared everything. There was a generosity about them. So think about that. Okay, now let's change the word generosity and we look at the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Okay, that is the nature of Christ. When you become a Christian, you get the nature of Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit is in you as a Christian, and it's at your disposal to be able to deal with anything that comes in life. Some of you are asking God to help you be more patient. You've got patience inside of you. You just need to realize what you've got. And then when you realize what you've got and you acknowledge it, as Philemon, whatever the verse reference is, says, our faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. So we acknowledge that, hey, I've got peace inside of me. I've got love. I've got joy. Thank you, Father, that I've got the nature of Christ in me because I'm a Christian. Help me to let it out. Jesus is trapped up inside some of you. And he's crying to get out. You're keeping him trapped down very, very, but the nature of Christ, which is in you, wants to come out, and he wants to start touching the people around you in love, in joy. Some of you aren't that loving, but if you let Jesus out, you'll start to be more loving. Amen? Take it with generosity. Jesus is generous, and his nature's inside of you, so you've got a generous nature as a Christian, even if you don't see that generous nature in action yet. So you need to start, if you're struggling to give and you're struggling to be generous, if you're stingy, start declaring over yourself, thank you, Father, I've got a generous nature. Don't force yourself to have to give or whatever. Don't be legalistic about it. But start declaring over yourself, I've got a generous nature. Wake up every day and a couple times a day, just say, thank you, Father, I've got the nature of Christ, which means I'm generous. My nature is generous. Thank you, Father, that I have all sufficiency in all things to give to every good work. Start thanking God for it. And you'll see it start to manifest in your life. Okay, so new covenant principles for giving from this scriptures. Firstly, you need to give as you've purposed in your heart. You need to give purposefully from your heart. Okay? That's what that scripture says. Give purposely from your heart. Okay, number one. Number two, not grudgingly or of necessity. So we don't give because we want to. Oh, sorry, we give because we want to, not because we feel we have to. We're not being manipulated into giving. New Testament giving is from the heart because we want to. Okay, and then the scripture says, for God loves a cheerful giver. Which doesn't mean that God hates an uncheerful giver. It just means he loves it when you give cheerfully. When you give hilariously. Now, I believe part of that could be that he's just laughing at you because you're giving big. Because you're generous. Generous doesn't mean little, it means big, right? How many of you like a generous portion of your favorite meal? And generous for you is like this. No. Generous portion is generous portion, right, Lucas? We want a big portion. We want something which is going to not only satisfy us, but make us feel sick. You want to kind of walk out of there and say, oh, I wish I hadn't have eaten so much. That's generous. It's excessive. Okay? God doesn't just want to meet your needs. He wants to be excessive with you. He wants you to be to have that feeling of, wow, this is too much. Okay? That's how it should be. That's what the blessing is. But look at it. For God loves a cheerful giver. I believe part of that is you're giving, you're like, wow, Lord, this is the biggest I've ever given. If I'm not trusting you, then this is going to fail. Yeah, that's how seriously I'm giving right now. So there you go. And you're giving, and God's laughing at you because God loves a cheerful giver. You're giving hilariously, and so he's cheerful about your hilarious giving. I really believe this. And God's looking at you, and he's laughing at you because he's saying, my child thinks they can outgive me. And he's just like, he's in hysterics thinking, wow, they think they're hilarious about this. But watch me look after them. Because you can't give hilariously, cheerfully, without trusting God. And I'm not talking, for me, right now, it's not about the giving as such. It's about the generous heart, and it's about your faith. Because if you're not giving, you're not trusting God. That's why you're probably struggling to receive healing or see other things happening in your life. Because your giving is an indicator of your faith. And we're going to see it in a second. It's the least use of your faith. I was sitting with someone once, and they were struggling with some issues in their life and everything, and they kind of summed up all their life issues to, I'm struggling to trust God. And I finished there. They had put a full stop at the end of that sentence, and I carried on their sentence for them, continued it. And I said, they said, I'm struggling to trust God. And I said, and I bet you're also not giving. And they said, how did you know? And I said, just a hunch. You know, it's an indicator. Everything else is not working out. It's probably because you're not giving. And this isn't. There's always exceptions to the rule. In this situation, I knew that this guy wasn't giving, and so I called it out to be able to challenge him to be able to start putting his faith and trust in God. Because if you're not giving, you're not trusting God. Doesn't matter what you say. Okay? Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Says, for whoever can be trusted with small things can also be trusted with big things. Whoever is dishonest in little things will also be dishonest in big things too. The King James says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in least is also unjust in much. Now the context of it is in verse 11. If you cannot be trusted with unrighteous mammon or worldly riches, you will not be trusted with true riches. So in context, it's talking about money and saying if you can't be trusted with the least, you're never going to be trusted with more than that. You're never going to be trusted with true riches. Okay? And so what Jesus is saying here is that finances is the least use of your faith. Okay? Yes, it's true that if we entrusted you to put the flowers here, okay, and this was your job and you're not faithful with it, you can't be promoted. Yes, it means that. Be faithful with the little and your responsibilities will increase. Definitely. But in context, Jesus is talking about finances. And he's saying that it's the least use of your faith. If you're not going to trust God in the area of your finances, how on earth can you expect to trust God for a job? To trust God even for salvation? To trust God for healing? To trust God for a spouse? Amen. Yeah, and it's not like you're paying God for something. It's just that giving finances is an indication of your trust in God. Because, I mean, it doesn't make sense to give away your finances, except if you're trusting God. Okay? Now, just a scripture to remind us of something before we go on there. Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes riches rich and adds no sorrow with it. So this is saying, you know, like we saw, you've been given the power to get wealth. You've been given the ability to get wealth. This scripture is saying the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And we've seen many verses which says you're blessed. So if you're blessed, that blessing is what makes you wealthy. What brings riches. Okay? So now you put your hand to something and you see it work because the blessing, the prosperity flows from what you're doing in your workplace. Sometimes it doesn't work because you don't believe it. But if you go in confidently that it's going to work every single time I put my hand to something, it will work, and you're trusting in God, not in your ability, your wisdom, your education, it will work. But sometimes we go into business or we go into a job or even an exam, and we've got this attitude of, I can do this. The Bible and Jesus never gave you the green light to trust in your ability. You don't have the if you're trusting in your ability, you're on sinking sand. You've got a shaky foundation. The scripture doesn't say I can do all things. The scripture says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so if we're trusting in Christ who gives us strength, we can do all things. Even be prosperous. Okay? So the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. What this is also saying is that the world's way of getting rich brings sorrow. Because you spend the first part of your life working hard, losing your health, making lots of money, losing family sometimes, so that one day, in the last part of your life, you've lost your family, you've lost your health, and now you can spend your money. That's how the world usually operates if you look at movies, right? And in just in general life. But God's way of prospering is that, hey, you're going to prosper, but you're also not going to have sorrow. You won't lose your family because you've looked after your family. You've made your priorities straight. You're not sick and burnt out because you haven't been working 24/7. You've been taking a rest time to be able to refresh and spend time with God and with your family and all of this. So the God's way of prospering is that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. He doesn't want your prosperity to bring you sorrow. Okay? And if it does, it's not true prosperity. But whoever can be trusted with the small things can also be trusted with big things. He that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in that it is in much. If we cannot be trusted with worldly riches or unrighteous mammon, we will not be trusted with true riches. Now, this is vital. We need to make sure that we're being faithful in the way that we use the finances that are entrusted to us. We are stewards of the finances and the resources, the time and the talents even that God's given us. What we do with those resources, that time, that talents and that treasure enables us to increase or just stay somewhere. If you want to increase in time, talents and treasure, then you need to be faithful in using what you've got, because increase only comes as you're faithful to use what you've got in a way that would glorify God, not in a way that's going to glorify you. You might get some kind of progress in the world if you're faithful with your talent, but God wants to prosper you more than you could prosper in the world. Okay? God values people. People value money. When we adopt God's values, then people will become what's really valuable. And so adds no sorrow to it, includes the fact that we're not just stepping over people or using people to get far, but we're actually using finances to help people and help people eternally through giving it to the kingdom, and that we're using money to be a blessing to other people, not trying to use people to be a blessing to ourselves. And I think that's a big one, because a lot of people are out there to try and make money and will use people to make money. And we are in business to make money, for example, but we need to be in business looking after the people that are involved with us. Amen? So, your money is the least use of our faith. And when we're good stewards with what God's entrusted to us, then we'll start to see the increase. You know, stewarding resources correctly is part of seeking first the kingdom of God. And then everything else is added unto us. We only see everything added unto us when we're seeking first the kingdom of God. We're putting our trust in God in the area of our finances. Okay? And if you think about it in terms of what I've just said, if finances is the least part or the least use of our faith, then trusting God in the area of finances is vital. It's not optional. For many people, trusting God in the area of health is optional, because you can go to the doctor. You can manage some illnesses, right? But with finances, if we want to increase, and this is the least use of our faith, we really need to get this right by giving, by being a blessing to the kingdom, to God, to doing what He wants us to do. Otherwise, we will never see that increase. We'll never see ourselves mature. So this really puts trusting God in the area of finances into the realm of necessity, not optional. So God wants me to prosper, but the purpose of that prosperity is for me to be a blessing. Okay? And that prosperity is not by my effort, it's by His effort. It's what He's done for me, not what I do for Him. And then it's important for me to remember that I'm under no obligation to give, but I'm invited to give. I'm invited to partake in the family business by giving into the kingdom. But God doesn't expect anything of us. He wants to give everything to us. And if we're truly impacted by His love and His grace, then it will result in thanksgiving, giving back to Him, remembering the Lord our God. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, I want to thank You. I want to thank You, Father, that Your heart is for us is the heart of a good Father. You desire that we prosper. You desire that we do well. You want to see us blessed and prosperous so that we can be a blessing. So we can be blessed and be a blessing. I pray for each and every single person here, Father, that You would give them right now an image on the inside of them of what You see of them. And right now, just with your eyes closed, I don't want you to kind of look around or think about anything except this. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how God sees you in the area of prosperity, in the area of being blessed. Because the Bible says you're blessed. So allow Him to give you that picture. Don't think of yourself in terms of what's happened in your life or your education or anything like that. Think of yourself in terms of you're in Christ. Now see yourself as blessed. Thank You, Father, that Your desire for us is that we see ourselves as truly, truly prosperous because we've got You. Like Joseph, he was called a prosperous man because You were with him. I thank You, Father, that we are prosperous because You're with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And we thank You for that, Father. Thank You, Father. Just repeat after me. God wants me to prosper.
God
God wants me to prosper. That prosperity isn't by my own effort. It's by His finished work. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that You start to just reveal that to us more and more and more. That yes, that You've got a work for us to do, something for us to put our hands to see prosperity flow. But You're prospering us because You've given us the blessing. You've given us the ability to do what You've called us to do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.